The Hoosier National Forest is reopening its caves this summer for the first time in nearly a decade. The caves were closed indefinitely in 2009 to prevent the spread of a fungal infection known as white nose syndrome. The disease has caused the deaths of millions of bat species across the United States and has caused innumerable losses in the Hoosier National Forest.
Well, the white nose syndrome is a result from a fungus. It has a very strange name, Pseudogymnoscus destructans. This particular fungus thrives in the cold and humid environments where bats hibernate. It's kind of a bad deal in that sense, because the ideal environmental factors for its growth is exactly the best ones for where the bats would occur in a cave. And the white nose syndrome, it was named that because some of the bats will develop a white fuzzy appearance around their nose, ears, and on their wings, but it's not always visible.
That was wildlife biologist Richard Winstead. Winstead is the supervisory biologist for the Hoosier National Forest, meaning he has oversight of the Fish and Wildlife Program for the whole forest. He's been working in the Hoosier National Forest for years now and has dealt firsthand with white nose syndrome over the past decade. In addition to manifesting itself as a white fungus, the disease can also cause symptoms in bats that can hinder their ability to hibernate safely throughout the winter.
The other thing that happens to the bats is that they'll lose their fat reserves. Now picture this, the bats will eat insects through the summertime. They'll build up a layer of fat. That's what they subsist on through that entire winter period. Well, if you lose that prematurely, you're not going to survive through the winter. The bats that are affected, they tend to move around more. They break their dormancy. They're not, you know, you can think of it sort of as sleeping. They'll wake up every so often, but they'll do that more often, and they'll move around, they'll shuffle around in there. So every time they do that, they burn energy. Some researchers have shown that basically these infected bats will use energy about twice the level as a healthy bat would.
The disease can also cause erratic and sometimes fatal behavior.
Some of the other sort of symptoms of that is that bats will often behave strangely. And what I mean by that is that they'll move to the near the entrances of the cave, closer than they normally would be. The temperatures are colder there. Sometimes they'll even fly outside, you know, when it's freezing temperatures outside. Well, there's nothing, no real reason for them to do that. There aren't any insects or anything like that, but they'll go outside. And quite often that will result in the death of the bat. So some caves, what they would find is basically a bunch of dead bats laying on the ground outside of the cave.
Caves are relatively devoid of base-level nutrient sources, according to Winstead. Since there's no sunlight, there aren't a lot of flora that can survive the harsh conditions of the cave. This means that it's up to the bats, who leave the caves to eat, to provide the base level of the food pyramid in this ecosystem.
In Indiana, bats use caves, well, they do in other states as well, but they're primarily their winter season occupants. And when I say winter season, it's going to be late fall into about April there or thereabouts. Because the bats are outside through part of the year, they're eating insects and all that stuff, then they come in to occupy the caves. They're really bringing resources from the outside inside to the cave. Quite often, nutrients within a cave system itself can be in fairly low supply. It needs to come from someplace. So that's really the value of the bats being in there. Is the bat guano, which is their manure, is really a basis for a food pyramid that's within this cave. So certain animals will digest that, and then those animals in turn will move out and distribute things out through the cave and so forth.
Without an adequate bat population, the entire cave ecosystem is impacted. While they aren't the only producer of those necessary base-level nutrients, bats play a substantial role in supporting other cave-dwelling organisms. The mass die-off of bats can be bad for more than just the cave's ecosystem, however. It can also cause issues in areas where they help fertilize crops and spread seeds.
When you get out, say, to the southwest of the United States, some of those bat species have a major role in plant pollination. They also, some of those eat fruit, and so they disseminate seeds across the landscape. You know, how many folks like tequila? Well, primary pollinator of those agave plants are bats.
The reason officials decided to initially close the Hoosier National Forest was to prevent the spread of the white nose-causing fungus from cave to cave. The fungus has the ability to attach itself to almost any kind of fabric or material and then remain there until someone enters another cave, at which point it can be spread to that cave's ecosystem by simply brushing up against a cave wall.
The other thing is the fungi tend to go into a spore that's kind of it's encased in a little protective coating, if you will. And that's how it survives in environments where, you know, all of a sudden become unfavorable. So those types of things have been detected on people's boots, their clothes, the webbing in their backpack or what have you. So now this thing has some environmental protection, if you will, and so it can be moved around. And if it's exposed to the right conditions again, then now it becomes an active fungus elsewhere.
Even though the caves are open again, it's important to still keep in mind prevention techniques to help prevent this disease from spreading to any additional caves. As Winstead points out, there still could be caves and cave systems in the Hoosier National Forest that are as of yet unaffected by white nose syndrome.
And so I guess my biggest recommendation is that folks that visit caves practice decontamination of their clothing and their gear. Because what you really want to avoid is that, you know, we have really no idea if it's in every cave or not. We can assume one way or the other, but let's reduce the odds that we're going to take it to one where it doesn't occur. And so that's the most proactive thing that we can do.
Across the United States, approximately 6 million bats have died because of this disease since 2007. The fatality rates in affected caves and wilderness areas is usually around 90 to 100%, according to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. As for Indiana, there are no official numbers as of right now. Calculating the amount of affected bats is not an exact science, according to Winstead.
Well, we're not entirely sure, but what I can say is that based on hibernacula counts, so that would be bats that are hibernating in caves in the wintertime, we're seeing reductions on the Hoosier. The numbers kind of fluctuate each time they're counted somewhat, but we just see a general trend. We don't really have a percentage-wise. We also occasionally will try to capture bats in the summer. Here over the last couple of years, it's been very difficult for us to actually catch anything. So that just tells us that there's less available out there. We also use acoustic methods to sample bat populations, and that involves driving routes with detectors that will hear the bats, and there seems to be a decrease in the number of detections as well. So everything is pointing towards fewer bats being available in the landscape.
The Hoosier National Forest plans on reopening its caves on May 1st of this year. Those who enter the caves earlier risk disturbing the bats' hibernation and can face a fine of $5,000 and up to 5 months in jail. Reporting for WFHB, I'm Jonah Chester.